Lesson 128, 3rd Nephi, Chapter 19. Introduction. After the Savior completed his first visit to the Nephites, the news of his visit spread among the people all that night. The events recorded in 3rd Nephi, Chapters 11 through 18, all took place during one day. Throughout the night, the people labored exceedingly that they might be on the morrow in the place where the Savior was going to appear again. In the morning, the 12 disciples taught the people and prayed with them. Jesus Christ appeared and commanded the disciples to pray while he prayed to the Father in their behalf. Because of their faith, the 12 disciples were purified. Jesus prayed that the disciples and all those who believed their words might become one with him and his Father. Suggestions for teaching. Note: Daily Scripture Study. Few things teachers do will have a more powerful and long-lasting influence for good in the lives of students than helping them learn from and love the Scriptures and study them daily. Remember to regularly follow up with students to help them fulfill the goals they set at the beginning of this seminary course to study the Scriptures daily and to read the entire Book of Mormon. 3 Nephi chapter 19 verses 1 through 14. The 12 disciples minister to the people as the Savior commanded. Invite students to imagine what they might do or how they might feel if they knew that tomorrow Jesus Christ would come to the temple, or stake center, or city center, or some other location that would require some effort on the part of the students to travel to. How would you get there? Whom would you want to go with you? What would you do to prepare for this experience? Remind students that near the conclusion of the Savior's visit to the Nephites on the first day, he encouraged the people to go to their homes and ponder and pray about his teachings, to prepare for his visit the next day. Ask students to read 3 Nephi 19, 1-3 silently, looking for the Nephites' response to the Savior's promise that he would return the next day. After students report what they find, summarize 3 Nephi 19, 4-8, by explaining that after the multitude gathered the next day, the 12 disciples divided the people into 12 groups and began to teach them. After instructing the multitude to kneel in prayer, the 12 disciples also prayed and then taught the people the same truths the Savior had taught the previous day. Then the disciples knelt in prayer again. Invite a student to read 3 Nephi 19:9 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the disciples prayed for. What did the disciples most desire and pray for? The 12 disciples were going to direct the affairs of the church among the Nephites after the Savior left. Why do you think they needed the Holy Ghost in their ministry? Invite a student to read 3 Nephi 19:10-12 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the disciples did next. Ask students to report what they find. Explain that this baptism was a special circumstance. Although the Nephites had been baptized previously for the remission of sins, the Savior commanded them to be baptized again because he had organized the church anew. Invite a student to read 3 Nephi 19:13-14 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for the blessings the disciples received in response to their righteous desires and actions. What blessings did the disciples receive? What principle can we learn from 3 Nephi 19:9-14 about what we can do to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Help students identify the following principle. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost as we sincerely desire and pray for His companionship, and as we participate in the ordinances of the gospel. Write this principle on the board and invite students to consider writing it in their scriptures next to verses 9-14. To help increase students' desire for the Holy Ghost's influence in their lives, do the following activity. Divide students into pairs. Ask each partnership to make a list in their class notebooks or study journals of what the Holy Ghost does for those who live worthy of His companionship. Next, invite students to compare their lists with the following statement by Elder Robert D. Hales of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Have students add to their lists any new ideas they find as they read the statement. Quote, "The Holy Ghost is the source of our testimony of the Father and the Son. We need the Holy Ghost as our constant companion to help us make better choices in the decisions that confront us daily. Our young men and women are bombarded with ugly things of the world. Companionship with the Spirit will give them the strength to resist evil and, when necessary, repent and return to the straight and narrow path. None of us are immune from the temptations of the adversary. We all need the fortification available through the Holy Ghost. Having the gift of the Holy Ghost helps family members make wise choices, choices that will help them return with their families to their Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ, to live with them eternally. End quote. From Robert D. Hale's The Covenant of Baptism, To Be in the Kingdom and of the Kingdom, Ensign, November 2000. After students have added new ideas from Elder Hale's statement to their lists, ask them to choose one of the blessings they have written and to explain to the class how that blessing could help them and other youth of the church today. After students are reported, ask the following questions. When have your righteous desires and prayers helped you feel the influence of the Spirit? When have you been filled with the Holy Ghost as you participated in the ordinances of the gospel? You might ask students to consider their own baptism and confirmation, as well as times when they have participated in proxy ordinances in the temple, partaken of the sacrament, and received priesthood blessings. You may also want to share an experience about a time when you were filled with the Holy Ghost as you desired and prayed for His companionship, or as you participated in the ordinances of the gospel. Write the following incomplete statement on the board. Invite students to write down this partial statement in their class notebooks or study journals, and then to complete it in their own words. I will show Heavenly Father my desire for the companionship of the Holy Ghost by blank. After sufficient time, invite a few students to share what they wrote. Remind students to not share anything that is too sacred or private. 3 Nephi 19:15-36. The Savior appears and prays for the people to be purified through their faith. Ask a student to read 3 Nephi 19:15-18 aloud. Invite students to follow along, looking for what the Savior instructed the people to do. Point out that in this unique instance, the disciples prayed to Jesus Christ because He was with them in person, as a representative of the Father. Point out that while the people were kneeling, they witnessed Jesus Christ pray for His disciples and for the multitude. They also witnessed the disciples' prayer. Write the following scripture references and question on the board, or prepare them on a handout for each student. The Savior's First Prayer, 3 Nephi 19:19-23. The Disciples' Prayer, 3 Nephi 19:24-26, and 30. The Savior's Second Prayer, 3 Nephi 19:27-29. What truths can you learn about prayer from this passage? Divide the class into groups of 3 students each. If your class is small, you may need to divide the class into smaller groups. Assign a student in each group to read one of the scripture passages written on the board. Inform students that they should all be prepared to respond in their groups to the question on the board. After sufficient time, ask students to share their responses to the questions with the other members of their groups. After students have discussed what they have learned in their groups, invite them to report to the class the truths they identified. Ask a student to write their responses on the board. Students may mention the following truths. We should express gratitude to God in our prayers. The Holy Ghost can help us know what to pray for. If we pray with the Spirit, our prayers will not include vain repetitions. The Lord blesses us when we pray without ceasing. Ask students to choose one of the truths listed on the board and to share how they have been blessed as they have applied that truth. You may also want to share your testimony of one of the truths on the board. Give students a minute to ponder how they will apply one or more of the truths on the board in order to improve their personal prayers. Invite a student to read 3 Nephi 19:31-34 aloud. Ask the class to follow along and consider why the Savior's prayer affected the people so deeply. Invite a few students to report what they find. Summarize 3 Nephi 19, 35 and 36 by explaining that the Savior taught that He had shown the Nephites the miraculous events they had witnessed because of their great faith in Him. Commentary and background information. 3 Nephi 19, 10 through 13, baptized anew. President Joseph Fielding Smith explained why the Nephites needed to be baptized again. Quote, "There is nothing strange in the fact that when the Lord came to the Nephites, Nephi was baptized and so was everybody else, although they had been baptized before. The church among the Nephites before the coming of Christ was not in its fullness and was under the law of Moses. The Savior restored the fullness and gave to them all the ordinances and blessings of the gospel. Therefore, it actually became a new organization, and through baptism, they came into it. We have a similar condition in this dispensation. The prophet Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery were baptized by command of the angel John the Baptist. Several others were baptized before the organization of the church. However, on the day the church was organized, all who had been previously baptized were baptized again, not for the remission of sins, but for entrance into the church. In each case, the reason was the same." End quote. From Joseph Fielding Smith, Answers to Gospel Questions, Volume 3, pages 205 and 206. 3 Nephi 19, verses 18 and 22. They did pray unto Jesus. From the Scriptures and the teachings of Latter-day Prophets, we know that we are to worship God the Father and to pray to Him only. We should not pray to Jesus Christ. For example, the Savior taught the Nephites, quote, "Ye must always pray unto the Father in my name," end quote, from 3 Nephi 18:19. However, shortly after the Savior taught this, His Nephite disciples prayed directly to Him. "They did so," He said, "because He was with them." Elder Bruce R. McConkie of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles explained that this was an exception, a unique situation. Quote, "There was a special reason why this was done in this instance, and on a one-time basis. Jesus had already taught them to pray in His name to the Father, which they'd first did. Jesus was present before them as the symbol of the Father. Seeing Him, it was as though they saw the Father. Praying to Him, it was as though they prayed to the Father. It was a special and unique situation." End quote. From Bruce R. McConkie, The Promised Messiah, The First Coming of Christ, pages 560 and 561. Supplemental Teaching Ideas. 3 Nephi 19, 23 through 29. Becoming One with the Savior. Write the following on the board. As we exercise faith in Jesus Christ, blank. Ask students to review 3 Nephi 19, verse 28 silently, looking for ways to complete the statement written on the board. Invite students to write down their responses. The following is one way students might complete the statement. As we exercise faith in Jesus Christ, we can become purified. What does it mean to be purified? How does exercising faith in Jesus Christ help us to be clean? In what ways did the disciples exercise faith during the events in 3 Nephi 19? To help students understand that we are purified by the Holy Ghost, remind them that the disciples had received the Holy Ghost and were, quote, "filled with fire," end quote. Explain that the phrase "filled with fire" is symbolic, referring to the blessings of being cleansed through the influence of the Holy Ghost. Ask students to read 3 Nephi 19, 23 and 29 silently, looking for another blessing that comes to those who have the Spirit of the Lord with them. After students read, you may want to suggest that they mark in both verses the phrase, "that we may be one." How are Jesus Christ and the Father one? They are separate tangible beings, but they are one in purpose and doctrine. Perfectly united, they bring to pass Heavenly Father's divine plan of salvation. What does it mean for us to become one with God the Father and the Son? What do we learn from 3 Nephi 19, 23 and 29 about how we can become one with them? Through faith we can be purified and become one with Jesus Christ, as He is one with the Father. Invite a student to read the following statement by Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Ask the class to listen for how we can become one with the Father and the Son. Quote, Jesus achieved perfect unity with the Father by submitting Himself, both flesh and spirit, to the will of the Father. His ministry was always clearly focused because there was no debilitating or distracting double-mindedness in Him. Referring to His Father, Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. See John chapter 8, verse 29. Surely we will not be one with God and Christ until we make their will and interest our greatest desire. Such submissiveness is not reached in a day, but through the Holy Spirit, the Lord will tutor us if we are willing, until in the process of time it may accurately be said that He is in us as the Father is in Him. End quote. From D. Todd Christofferson, That They May Be One in Us, Ensign Orleahona, November 2002. Promise students that we too can have greater spiritual experiences and grow toward becoming one with the Father and the Son if we increase our faith and pray earnestly for the companionship of the Spirit. 3 Nephi chapter 19, verse 24. It was given unto them what they should pray. Point out that 3 Nephi 19:24 contains the phrase, quote, For it was given unto them what they should pray, end quote. Invite a student to read aloud the following statement by Elder Bruce R. McConkie of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Quote, Perfect prayers are those which are inspired, in which the Spirit reveals the words which should be used. And if ye are purified and cleansed from all sin, ye shall ask whatsoever you will in the name of Jesus, and it shall be done. But know this, it shall be given you what you shall ask. End quote. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 50, verses 29 and 30. From Bruce R. McConkie, Mormon Doctrine, page 586. What difference would having the Spirit's guidance make in how you pray and what you pray for?